Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. My name is Valencia Scott, and I am part of Turning Leaf Ministries, and the title of my show is called The Ties That Bind. I talk about different things. I talk about alcohol and drugs. I talk about molestation, abuse, and so on and so on. Also, another thing, my sobriety birthday is December the 16th, 2002. For that, I am truly grateful, working on 14 years of sobriety. And I'll be teaching on recovery today. I'm reading out the book Alcoholic Anonymous, page 64 in the big book. But before I start, I'm going to start with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humbly as I know how. Father God, I repent of anything I've done today that's not like you, in the name of Jesus. Father God, as I bring forth this message, Father God, I pray that this message will heal, deliver, and set free, Father God, to everyone that's listening. Remove Valencia out the way, Father God, and have your way, Father God, and continue to do your will in your son Jesus' name. Amen. And out of the big book, I'm going to be talking about step four, which is, let me read it. Well, it's actually step four and five, which are to be worked together. Step four is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And step five is submitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step four is a personal inventory, which in recovery that we write it down, and we share it with our sponsor, or you can share it with a priest, or so on and so on. Let me go to step four. Okay, this is step three. Okay, step four. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. One object is disclosed damaged or unsellable goods to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We consider its common manifestation. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From its stings, all form of spiritual disease. But we had not been not mentally and physically ill. We have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We list people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We ask ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambition, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burnt up. On our grudge list, we said opposite each name or injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, or personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victory only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? But with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves out from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They made but the dubious luxury of normal men. But for the alcoholic, these things are poison. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In this state, the wrongdoing of others, fancy or real, had the power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us was perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offends, we say to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We want to treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least to God, which show us how to take kindly and tolerant views of each and everyone. Referring to our list again, put in our minds the wrongs others have done. We resolutely look for our own mistakes. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them down. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Notice the word figured, fear is bracketed along the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortunes. We felt we didn't deserve, but did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. We review our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We ask ourselves why we had them. Was it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it did not go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there's a better way, we think so. But we are not on a different basis. The basis in trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us, and humbly rely on him. Does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality is the way of weaknesses. Paradoxically, it's the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. And that's just a little bit, because otherwise it's going to be talking about sex. So what I basically was talking about is resentment and trying to run it ourselves instead of trying to let God run it. Resentment is nothing but pent-up anger. And you can't, if you don't get that garbage out, what we call step 4 and 5, personal inventory, is you're walking around with a whole bunch of junk inside you, and you can't carry no message. You cannot grow if you don't get that mess out of you. So it says, far as with step 4 is, you talk to your sponsor. Really, in recovery, you sort of have a sponsor. The sponsor is a person that guides you and things like that. Another thing I learned in the program, they were saying things like that. If a person has cancer, we are sorry for that person, but not for the alcoholic and addict, because this is something I choose to use. So if I have cancer, I have to go get me a doctor. I would have to take medication. I have to take chemotherapy. It's the same thing when it comes to recovery. Sponsor is your doctor. Your medicine is working the 12 steps, and your therapy is the group. So you have to put those things into order. And step four and five are to be worked together. Far as step four, you write down everything that happened to you started from your childhood. You put it on paper. And when you put it on paper, you're going to feel every part of it. Another thing about being alcoholic, we don't want to feel anything, but that's part of the process. You're going to feel it all, and that's what you're supposed to do, but it's garbage. You cannot walk around with all that garbage. And if that's what they say when you do step four, be honest. Write everything down. Do not hide anything, because you're not fooling nobody but yourself, because God already knows what you've done. And if you don't fully put down everything that happened to you, being honest, you're going to be still messed up because you're still walking around with garbage. All the garbage got to come out. God wants to fill you. He wants to put something new in you. He cannot put nothing new in you and you're still full of garbage. So that's why they say you put everything down on paper. And that's the challenge when you put it on paper. The really difficult part is when you go tell somebody that. But the thing is, with the thinking that they say that we have, you think that you're the worst person in the world, not knowing that somebody has done stuff way worse than you have. Because we are so hard on ourselves, we mask our feelings, we don't want to deal with anything, and so on and so on. So when you tell somebody, you are free, and that person is going to make you feel comfortable, like you're not the only one. If they really come with a sponsor, you're going to be comfortable with your sponsor. Your sponsor will start telling you things that they have done, so you won't feel so bad. But what I learned, the whole thing was, when I got through working my steps, my life was messed up because I tried to run my life. I didn't allow God. I kicked God out. I let God, I got it. I'm going to run my life. I'm going to drink and drug and do whatever I want to do. I don't need your approval. So after working step four and five, I found out it was all my fault because I tried to run my life. And I don't have that kind of power to run my life. And that's what I found out with step four and five. And after you do step four and five, it's just a release. It's just really a release. And I thank God that I had went through that process, because I think I had about 22 pages when I did my step. It was so funny, because when I was doing my step with my sponsor, I had wrote all my stuff down. Like, okay, I got my step four, and my sponsor got my papers. And she had tore up my papers and threw it in the garbage. She said, "This your trash. This your trash. So you ain't going to carry that trash no more." And she said, "Tell me your story, what happened." So that's how it be. When you get to talk about all the things that happened to you and you become free and you pray, because when I did my step four and five, I couldn't go to a meeting. She said, "You got to go home and feel this." And another thing, being at heart, we don't want to feel nothing. We don't want to feel everything. But I had to go home and I had to feel it, because people go to work and things like that. They got to feel stuff. But I think because I'm an alcoholic and addict, I can't feel anything. No, I'm human just like the next person. It just, with me, I was a coward. I ain't want to deal with nothing. I ain't want to feel nothing. I wanted to hide from the world. So I had to try to become more normal, because people feel all the time. I was so used to masking my feelings with the alcohol. So when I didn't have the alcohol, I'm feeling all these emotions, all these things, and I don't know how to deal with it. That's when the sponsor come into play to identify, because I haven't got to step six and seven. That's when they're talking about your shortcomings. And my shortcomings are, I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, I'm inconsiderate, I'm dishonest, I have fear, I have ego, I have pride. Those are my shortcomings. I don't, that's step six. Step seven about humility. What I lack for another person is, I don't have any humility. I don't have no compassion. I have a whole bunch of fear. I have a whole bunch of pride. But see, all these things, you learn all these things as you come into the program and get into the book. This is not something that I learned in a day. It took a lot of work for me to get to the place I am today, because I wanted it. I wanted something different. I didn't want to continue to keep on drinking and drugging and things like that, you know. But it took a lot of work. And I know me today, and that's the whole thing about the program is, it teaches you how to know yourself. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool yourself. You can't fool God. Don't nobody know me better than me. Can't nobody tell me about me like me. So that's the whole process of the program. And another thing about the program, it is a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful. After you recover, you know, and things like that, you can actually help somebody else, you know, when they're going through. That's the beauty of it. All of this giving, that's how you know God's in. You know he gives. My testimony will set somebody free. My testimony, all the things that I went through will set someone free. Because I'm just the type of, I used to be real timid, real scared and things like that. And, you know, just didn't want to talk and stuff like that. But I'm the type of person, I would tell my testimony to help somebody else because I'm just being honest. I don't care what people think about me like that. I don't care. I mean, I have done my testimony on pretty many prayer lines and so on, and it's to help somebody else. And that's another way to get out of self. The big will talk about self all the time. You block God out when you in self, like, I ain't going to do this. I don't want to do it. You're blocking them. You got to give of yourself. That's how God is. He gives. And I thank God for the program because, but see, the program's so good, but I believe in God. Some people are atheists. To teach his own, but this program I call my power God, and I just thank God for the things that he have done and what he's continued to do for me, and it's really these steps, especially step 4 and 5, and I didn't get to the 6th part. In the 6th part, it come into where people have been molested and been sexually abused and things like that. The program talks about everything. It's the whole thing is to set you free. You got to discuss these things. You got to get it out. If you're a militia, you talk about that. I went to the doctor. I got counseling and got on medicine. I still take my medicine. I had to do because once you've been in molestation, people molested you, abused and stuff, you pick up that behavior. So it's really deep. You have to go get help. It says in the big book in the doctor's opinion that some people got to go get help. And I was just honest and said, I needed some help because I got tired of walking back and forth, smoking cigarettes, back to back, drinking coffee all day. That's what I was doing because I was up drinking till 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. And when I got out the chemicals, I couldn't lay down and go to sleep. I couldn't. I messed up a lot of things by drinking and drugging. So I had to be, rehabilitated. So I went and got me a psychiatrist, got me a doctor, and I talked to my doctor about all the things that happened to me. Because another thing, by being an alcoholic and an addict, you start picking up stuff. You have to be careful when you're in a program. They got to not try to get into a relationship. But some people are married, so that's to each his own. But the reason they say don't get into a relationship because it's not really a relationship. It's a sexual thing. You're trying to fix. It's a feeling. All it is a feeling. Yeah, another thing, you can't. Shopping, it's a feeling. A feeling. Gambling, it's a feeling. Stop trying to feel it. The only thing going to feel it is God. I'm telling you that now. Because I didn't try it all day. It don't work. And I thank God that I got sober at the age of 24. That was God doing. That's the way he said it. I'm 37 now. But that was the mission for me. It started there at the age of 24. Today will be my 1 year. I have not had no cigarette. God has completely delivered me from cigarettes. Now, I didn't get delivered from alcohol and drugs. I went to the program. But as far as deliverance of trusting God on cigarettes, he took it away. I wasn't on no patch. I wasn't on nothing. I was on a prayer line. And he delivered me. And he will deliver you from anything else if your heart is right. If you really want him to take it from you, he will take it from you. But you got to really want it. I keep on saying you can fool people. You cannot fool God. So don't come in with that foolishness and you don't want to be sober or don't want to be delivered from cigarettes. Because for one, it's bad. That's how I know I'm an alcoholic and addict. I'm simply smoking a cigarette. It's burning my throat. If that ain't no warning sign that you need to quit smoking cigarettes, it's something wrong. You don't smoke no cigarette and it's burning your throat, but it's a stronghold. It was my pastor said it's your comforter. I had to have something to comfort me. Like I go to church and stuff like that, I'd be fine. As soon as I come home and smoke a cigarette, I start thinking automatically. I'm like, I'm thinking again. And it wasn't nothing but negative thoughts. It was just negative thought. I'd be fine. They had to go. Because I went to the revival. The guy said, you've been going through for too long. You got to let something go. I said, it's those cigarettes. I already knew what it was. I said, those cigarettes. Folks like, you got to stop smoking those cigarettes. Because another thing, like, y'all hear me, like, you might hear me talking now. I'm a woman. My voice is too deep. But that came from cigarettes. That's not talking about self. I want to smoke me a cigarette. I'm grown. It's my money. I can do what I want to do now. I'm halfway sound, halfway like a dude. That ain't cool. But who thought was that, man? I want to put them down, just constantly smoking them. And I have to clear my throat, got to put bliss oil in my water, try to clear my throat, help my throat and things like that. And thank God that he did deliver me because he's like, I'm trying to deliver you from lung cancer, fool. Put the cigarette down. But no, self, I won't. None of God, he ain't ask you what you want. He tell us what to do. But God is so good at self-will and his will. He loves us so much. He said, you choose the one you want to choose. But when judgment day comes, don't be coming to try to flip-flop like, I want to. Now, no, he give us choices. You're going to do my will or you're going to do self-will. But you be want to do self-will, they come beg me and ask me to get you out of self-will when you put yourself in self-will. So I just thank him for all the things that he has done. I thank God 1 year. 1 year, no cigarettes, no patch, no nothing, a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. I had to go outside and smoke my cigarette. It felt so weird for a minute because I was always outside because I was a chain smoker, so I'm always buying up a cigarette, always. And people that smoke, that it don't bother me. I'm gone. It's done. I don't want it. I don't want it. And he's just that type of guy. He just did good. And he took it. I asked him, and I meant it from the bottom of my heart. I said, God, I need you to take this. I can't do it without you. I don't even know how to begin. Because some people got to go to class to get that. I ain't have to go to no class. I went to the revival. I went and prayed and said, God, deliver me. I came home, got on my knees and cried like a baby. And that's when the taking it. It's been gone ever since. Today marks 1 year that I have not had no cigarette. So I just thank God. I just keep on. I can't stop thanking him because he had done so much for me. He ain't got me out of so many messes and stuff like this. Thank him. He got me in a program at the age of 24. I don't know too many people that come to a program at the age of 24. I'm almost working on 14 years of sobriety. So I just thank him. I just thank him, and I just thank him. And again, my name is Valencia Scott. This is Eternal Life Ministries. The title of my show is called The Ties That Bind. I want to thank Brandon Turner. I want to thank Mary Mims. They are the directors of Eternal Life Ministries. I'm praying that the ministry keep increase and keep on growing for the people, alcoholics and addicts that really want to help people. And I just want to thank God for the opportunity. I want to thank God for sending these people in my life. And I pray that everyone have a blessed day. God, I learned nothing. I stopped talking. When God say this is it, stop talking because you get the rambling. So I'm about to close out because I got to get on Pastor Money Line and pray then. I got to do another radio show today. I thank God for that because it keeps you out of your head. Keeps you busy. You won't get to thinking so much. So I'm going to close. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humble as I know how. Father God, and gave everything that you told me to give. Father God, I pray that you touch and deliver someone and listen in today. I pray that you keep on covering people. I pray that you remove the disease, Father God. I pray that we want to seek you more and do your will, Father God, instead of talking about what we want to do. And I pray that you continue to have your way in our lives. In your son Jesus' name. Amen. Bless everybody. God bless.